Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. It's May the 22nd, 2022, just in case we air this at a later date. And my name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us today, Bill?
Well, our sponsor is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. And right now, you can go down there and have a great selection of John Deere tractors in the yard and ready to go. Mowers are a little slim, but they do have some mowers in stock. Mower season's almost over. I mean, we're ramping up to July or June here, so that'll be the end of that. But anyway, there's still time to go down and get yourself a new John Deere lawnmower. They also do parts and service. They can work on pretty much anything. So go down and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake. Or give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at PapeMachinery.com.
And you'll know you are at Pape Machinery when you see the Gorton's fishermen hanging from a wire up there on their sign.
Oh, yeah. We had a little windstorm the other night.
Their John Deere banner ripped off both the ends, but it hung in the middle. And so it just looks like the Gorton's fishermen just dangling from a wire.
It looks a lot like a raincoat hanging up there. So you want a little chuckle, go up by five.
Turn right at the raincoat.
Yeah. Look for the raincoat.
Yeah. I saw it last night. I was like, God, it does kind of look like a raincoat. Not good. Yeah, Not a good look.
Needs a little repair. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's way up there. I mean, how are you going to do it? You got to call a guy, huh?
You got to call a guy with the lift. Huh. Yeah.
So, I don't know. This election thing is like, it's just so far out of control. People have all gone crazy. And you know this. You know I'm telling you the truth. It doesn't matter what team you're on either. They've all just the madness. That's when we call it madness. Crazy isn't
chaos.
Yeah, it's just madness has swept the country. Doesn't matter what you're talking to them about. The madness creeps in. You can talk about food. All of a sudden, madness.
All of a sudden,
I'm sure the Gorton's fisherman thing is going to set somebody off. So.
Yeah.
Shouldn't even joke about it. Oh, my gosh. Our guest today is going to unscramble the madness for us, though. That's what he promised. Isn't that great? He didn't tell us anything.
Set the agenda, Aaron.
He didn't tell us anything. I'm just like, okay, good. Marcus is going to unscramble everything. His friend who told me to have him on said he could do anything. So we are counting on that today.
Putting the pressure on or anything.
Well, okay, so let's look at his little bio here since he has not been with us prior. He was a military police officer, so he is a professional with chaos, actually.
He should
be great at that in the U.S. Army. And been involved with the conservative activism and bringing the fight for conservative values to Southern California. And, well, if you were going to start anywhere, that would be the hardest place.
You know, that's going to be a fight.
Yeah, you should start up here. It's a lot easier. Marcus has been involved with many organizations such as Turning Point USA, the Freedom Foundation, and the Republican National Hispanic Assembly. So he was the president of Turning Point USA chapters and sits on the state board for the RNHA, sure, easy for me to say. He has appeared on OANN, Daily Caller, Fox, Telemundo, Turning Point Live, PragerU, Campus Reform. Really fun. He's been fighting the left and public policy, working on public policy that will save America. And gosh, that's a wide array of things. You could start pretty much anywhere since everything has gone crazy. But he loves the outdoors, takes a lot of pictures, enjoys spending as much time as possible traveling and meeting new people. So that's kind of awesome. He has an associate's degree in communication from Mount San Antonio College and is currently pursuing his undergraduate degree in public relations, Cal State University Fullerton, and committed to fighting for California and conservative values in the Latino community. So this is kind of a topic we haven't. We don't know a lot about it. So, Marcos Zalata Rojas, or well, Rodas.
Welcome, Marcos.
I asked him if he was Zalata or...
Hey, how's it going, Aaron and Bill? It's a pleasure to be on with you guys today.
I figured it was sort of a potato-potato thing I had to ask him. I'm going to get hung up on this. I know I am.
You're going to get hung up on, all right.
I know.
Yeah.
So many things. So, Marcos, I kind of really did leave it up to you. I'm curious what's going on down at your end of the state and what you're what you're seeing.
Kind of like you mentioned, it's pretty chaotic right now, and I think it's not isolated to just California. I don't think it's isolated just to the Democrat stronghold like California. It really is nationally chaotic right now, and it kind of comes from a place of losing our sense of who we are as a nation, the values that made us the greatest power in the world, and a president who is kind of lost, if you ask me. And I think that's kind of the idea that everyone's holding right now. We have a lack of leadership, and it trickles down very effectively and can cause a lot of chaos, as you mentioned.
Yeah, being lost is being kind.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep it good.
Well, you know, it's true. I mean, he's wandering around. You know, he doesn't really know what's going on. But, you know, just when we thought we were thrilled to see the Obama people leave, it's like, oh, they're back. They're all back again. And they weren't good when they were in there.
Yes, and you know, although I do understand there's chaos, I mean, people are struggling with the inflation, people are struggling with the fact that our representatives can send money to foreign nations while we're struggling at home. I understand there's a lot of struggle. I mean, hey, I am not immune to those struggles. I absolutely feel those struggles and the pains that are coming with this current economy under this administration. But I will say this. I believe there's a lot to be hopeful for. I truly is. I am an optimist at heart. I try to be able to, keep marching forward, and kind of roll with the suck, as they used to say in the military. And I think if anything out of the president's current administration is that it's so bad, it will turn more people Republican. And that is something I am very grateful for. Amongst all the bad that they're doing,
I think so too. Because honestly, when I was in high school, it was Jimmy Carter, and this is every bit except for the gas lines. We haven't gotten there yet, but this is Jimmy Carter.
No, we haven't got there yet because people don't have any money left to get in the line for gas.
But we took a huge swing right after that. So
yes, we did.
I don't know.
Exactly. I mean, I think it's already happening. I mean, just last year, from January to June, Democrats had a 32-point advantage in Hispanic American party identification. So Hispanic Americans were voting Democrat by a 32-point advantage. Now, when they looked at July through December, it's only a 28-point advantage going Democrat. And I think that will continue to sink if President Biden doesn't get it together and the Democrat Party realizes instead of identity politics, they need to actually have policy that has substance in it that helps the American people. And that's from Reuters. And I mean, Latinos or Hispanics, better said, are account for 19% of the U.S. population. And I can tell you very confidently that Latinos are not leftists. They're not communists. They are not Democrats. They simply have been lied to you. And the current administration is making them wake up, and with the right activism, the right messaging with the Republican Party, a lot can be done here to capitalize on their mistakes.
It's interesting. So when you, when you speak to different groups and they say, and let's just say they think that the Democrats are totally on their team, where do you start? Like, where do you start to unscramble that for them?
Well, I think the best thing we can do is find the common ground. So, especially when I talk to Latinos, I'm also involved with Turning Point USA, although today I speak just on my own behalf, it's about finding the common ground. I think most people want to be able to know that they'll have a job next month, that they'll be able to get baby formula for their children, that they'll be able to put food on their tables. And you can break down these policies that are actually affecting them at home, right? The dinner, top conversation. So when they're talking about these things, they're not as polarizing as most people believe. Now, of course, I do have a mindset that, listen, if there are far left leftists who are, of a fundamental idea that America is bad and everything about it is bad and the Republicans are a devil walking amongst the earth, you're not going to save that person. At that point, you might as well just go find someone else who can cancel out their vote. But when you can find the common ground and talk about things that matter, most people start to realize that our values and our ideas align, right? Conservatives want a limited government so we can have a better economy with more jobs and less restrictions. They want a more involved government, but ultimately still want good jobs and a better economy which they can thrive in. And then it comes down to sometimes fundamentally just, is it the government's job to give you that? Or is it the government's job to get out of their way so that way it can be the best it can be through the free markets? And it's just little things like that where you can start changing people's minds. And when it comes to students, I mean, it's not as bad as people think. I mean, don't get me wrong. Nationally, it's very bad for students right now. I am in thick of it. Believe me, I've been attacked by my university's institutions, my students. I mean, death threats, you name it. But that's all right. Because at the end of the day, nationally, nearly 4 out of 10 young people aged 18 to 29 voted for President Trump. And that's almost halfway there. And we can keep going because I can tell you right now, after COVID-19, when people experience what it felt like to be stepped on by the government, what overreach and tyranny felt like, a light bulb moment happened. And they realized, okay, a big involved government who's telling them what to do, probably not a good idea. And they wanted that individual liberty by giving them a taste of what it's like when it's taken away. So, again, I am hopeful.
Yeah, I thought about that, what the young people were thinking or what they thought the whole restrictions on COVID, what their final thoughts on that were.
Well, down there, it was bad, too.
Yeah,
down where you are was really...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now that in the liberal strongholds that are our universities in America, most students wanted a vaccine mandate. Most students wanted to force others to wear masks. When the Turning Point chapter that I lead at Cal State Fullerton attended a freedom rally, they talked about spraying us with vaccine mist in their internal atmosphere. So they're talking about basically what's, symbolically chemical warfare against those who think mandates are bad, right? And that's just what it is. But when you were talking to the normal students, and all due respect to them, they might be very great people. They just hold very wrong ideas and don't act the right way about them. But when you were talking to the moderates, the people who weren't really sure about politics yet, because all they hear about is your professors just spit out all this, trash in their classrooms. When you talk to them and you really present ideas like, hey, do you think it's okay for any governing body to tell you anything about what medication you should insert in your body? And, you bring up the irony. What happened to my body, my choice? If you believe in that, how does this not equate to that? And, again, the light bulb moments happen. So regular people were against it. And, unfortunately, some students were just too afraid to stand up or didn't even know they had other options. So I know of many students who got the experimental COVID-19 vaccine because they thought they had to without knowing there was exemptions and that there was people who would fight to make sure that they got their exemptions, like myself and many organizations like Turning Point USA.
Wow. Well,
it was a somber time.
I would imagine in the Hispanic community, the whole abortion thing is a big deal as well.
It is.
I can't imagine that they're in favor of that. That just seems culturally
opposite.
I don't. Yeah, that just doesn't seem to fit.
There's been many articles that have been written about the fact that Latinos are very conservative, right? Where we come from religious backgrounds, we believe in family units, we believe in being pro-life, based on our own morals as well as our strong background in religion, and we don't agree with the leftist ideas of killing your child out of inconvenience. And we truly believe in constitutional rights and making the America dream happen for ourselves like it has for others. We don't scream at the moon and say, why is America racist? Everything's against me. No. They buckle down.
But that's so popular right now. It's incredibly popular right now.
Exactly.
How are you ever going to get any followers if you don't do that? I mean, everybody knows that's how it works.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. We have to take a really quick break. You know what? I just solved the debt crisis because I found out where all the money is. It's down by Marcos.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. There's a whole song about it and everything.
Huh.
So we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
All the gold. So if you're dreaming about California,
thinking that song is like an all-purpose song, but that's mostly leftists. So they've moved into our neighborhoods. They've taken over our towns. Do you deal a lot with the college students, Marcos? Is that what's your primary audience?
I've had a lot of years of activism on the college front, you know, with Turning Point USA. I mean, that's the trenches right there.
Right.
We're fighting the culture war with a sense of urgency, trying to change minds and convince people of what the right way forward is every single day. And I can tell you right now, we have faced so many threats, backlash, doxing, I mean, you name it. It's as bad as you can imagine. It's just like that.
Mm. Do they show up like that, or like, do you see a difference between like a freshman class and a senior class? I realize you know.
Truthfully, yes, I do see a transition. The longer you're in that echo chamber of leftist waste, it turns you into a different person. It truly does. So our happiness comes from getting to people. Sometimes when they're freshmen, sophomores, or juniors, who are still reasonable. And sometimes seniors who just realize this whole time that something wasn't right. And that's where the happiness comes from, when you convince people, hey, this is the way forward, or hey, you hold these ideas, it's time to be outspoken. And it's a good time, even with all the negative leftists all around you.
Well, yeah, because I wonder, you know, when you come from home, you might be a little bit ideological, but typically, unless your parents are pretty hardcore into politics, which the bulk of people are not. It seems like you're going to show up at college and it's going to be a new place and you're kind of excited, and it seems like you might have a shot at those folks. Any difference between boys and the girls?
I have noticed that it does follow similar trends that have been found through studies, that women do seem to have a more left-leaning political ideology.
Yeah, I wonder about that.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the men on universities are not the men I served with, that's for sure. And they do lean very far left. They're not, they're not a man's man, to say the least.
They're not army material.
But it does follow the trend where men do slightly hold more conservative values. But I can tell you right now, our Turning Point chapter at Cal State Fullerton and many others that I've noticed nationwide, I have amazing friends, it is led by amazing conservative women. And I have found that conservative women are actually some of the best fighters in the movement. Even though nationally women may lean more left, the conservative women are absolute fighters, and they're at the very front lines.
Yeah, we saw that like with the Tea Party, you know, like 12 years ago. A lot of the groups wound up being really propelled by women. But I'm thinking on a college campus, I think girls sometimes go into that fuzzy bubble of, you know, ideological silliness, and I'm not sure men ever really escape from the idea of I'm going to have to grow up and earn a living. Like, they can't marry someone who's going to earn a living for them.
That is true. That value and that view is still there.
I think in the back of their head, they're like, I still have to go out. I can't get that lesbian studies degree I was thinking about, because that's going to make me unemployable.
Right. I actually need to put food on the table somehow.
Well, I think there's just got to be a tremendous amount of pressure on kids when they hit the college campus with you know, like you were saying, the indoctrination, you know, 8 hours a day. It'd be pretty easy for them to just kind of go with the flow, and then the next thing you know,
we're on the team. We're wearing a big hat and marching in the streets.
There you go.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's terrible. I've had a American studies professor who was teaching a class on the American dream, which I, as a conservative, as a patriot, was, hey, okay, I want to learn this academically. Let's see what this is about. Knowing that there was a 50-50 chance to be a leftist teaching the course, and unfortunately it was. And on the first day of class, the professor said that America isn't that great, and it's pretty much not different from anywhere else in the world. Everyone has similar rights. We're not unique in that sense.
Oh, wow.
And I quickly disagreed. And I always joke around that it probably knocked me down a grade or two, but it is worth it. And it just crazy the type of indoctrination to the level they go.
Yeah, that's...
I've had students tell me that they had to take privilege quizzes. And
when they had to take a what?
A privilege quiz, which is a questionnaire that calculates how privileged you are depending on your income. Majority of the time it's because of the pigmentation of your skin. So if you happen to be a little bit lighter, you're more privileged. If you're darker, you're underprivileged and a victim.
Oh, wow.
And they use the worst or the most privileged persons as an example. And that happened to be one of my students who came forward with that. And she felt embarrassed. She felt attacked. She did not grow up wealthy. She just happens to be half white and half Hispanic. But because she's half white, she's an oppressor. Because, of course, the university is prescribed to the ideas of critical race theory. And it's unfortunate. And one of the scariest things to me is not so much that it's happening in the colleges, but people don't realize how early it's starting to happen now. This is going on in elementary schools across the world as well. The U.S. has become an exporter of these bad ideas, the critical race theory, this idea that depending on the pigmentation of your skin, and what race you are, what your culture is, you are inherently privileged or underprivileged, and no matter if you aren't racist, it's still there, subconsciously in you. And it's going on in elementary schools, sometimes as early as pre-K and kindergarten, across America. And we've seen it in Florida with BLM marches. We've seen slave auction recreations that were extremely racist, and I won't even describe them, but they were made in an attempt to be woke and appealing to the leftist ideas of inclusion. And it's sad. And California is one of the worst at it. Yorba Linda has an amazing school board, and they banned critical race theory. So what happens? Cal State Fullerton, of course, my school, unfortunately, says that they're going to make sure their teachers know about critical race theory, understand it, and are well-equipped to teach it and implement it in their teaching programs. And these are people that are going to go out to teach middle schools, elementary schools, and high schools one day.
Oh, no. They're going to be the people with the green hair we see on those videos.
Exactly. People say, extreme examples here and there. That's not the case. It's more widespread than people think.
Yeah. You know, and the sad part about that is they never take into account the kids and the people who got it the hard way. You know, they earned it. They worked. They took odd jobs to earn money to go to college, and nothing was handed to them. But they get bunched in. You know, they get thrown in with the same crowd that you're now. You're privileged. You're not privileged. Yeah. You earned it. That's the part that I think is especially sad when kids do step up and take responsibility and earn the right to be there, and then they get there and they find out, well, you're privileged.
Exactly. Yeah, and I can't imagine how my life would be if, when I was growing up as a young kid, if I was told, oh, because I am a dark-skinned Latino man, that I am inherently going to be underprivileged in America, that all the white individuals around me have a leg up on me, and I will never be as good at them because of the systematic racism in America. I can't imagine what that would have done to me, coming from a very poor background of immigrant parents to where I am now. I wonder what type of psychological effect that would have on me. Mm-hmm. Would I have been eager to work on my circumstances, go and serve my country with pride, get an education, or would I have just been in this perpetual sense of I'll never be great because the system is against me?
Exactly.
And it's extremely dangerous, and it's disgusting, quite honestly. I will always say that people who subscribe to the idea of CRT and push these ideas are truly the racists, because either, one, they think minorities are underprivileged and they need a lower standard in math and education and help us because we can't help ourselves, or because they think that all white people, no matter who they are racist. And last time I checked, if you classify all people as one thing, you're basically following the same thing as any other racist, and that is wrong.
Yeah. As a minority person, to hear that, it's got to be just so, I don't know, it's just a kick in the gut to think that you're supposed to feel that way when really you don't feel that way. You feel good about who you are and where you came from. And yet they're telling you, well, you're disadvantaged.
Well, but then any bump in the road, right? There isn't anybody who's you know, you apply for a job and you don't get it. Well, you don't get it, and you don't get it, so you go to the next one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that big a deal. But if you've been kind of programmed for all that time, it's like, oh, I know why I didn't get
exactly.
the job.
So,
right. And there, I'm not the first person to come up with this. People much smarter than me, like Charlie Kirk and Douglas Murray, talk about this a lot. But they say there's a supply and demand problem in the United States when it comes to racism. We have a large demand for it and a low supply for it.
That is pretty funny. That's totally true.
Regurgitate this lies about systematic racism and push it into kids as little as elementary school, sometimes even younger. And it's a shame, especially here in California, when a majority of our kids are not even up to standards in English, math, or science. So
right.
They're more worried about teaching wokeism than they are teaching them English, math, and science, things that will actually affect their future and their outcomes of not only those kids, but our entire state and nation.
Yeah. And you look at, you look at the kids that are just the white kids, your run-of-the-mill white kids. Well, they're told that they have all these privileges. Well, I guess, you know, when you're a kid, you're not a real, I mean, children sometimes do say things that are sort of philosophical, but children are not philosophers.
No.
And so they're not thinking about the wider implication of that. But if you're told that all the time, you're thinking, well, I can sit down and slide uphill.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have to do anything.
Yeah,
this is all going
exactly.
to fall right on me. And I thought, you know, it's a bad message. Nobody wins in that message, actually.
Exactly. Yeah. And there are ways to fix it. I mean, Florida has been very strongly against it.
Yeah.
They have the great Governor DeSantis there. And although we may not be under such a lucky leadership as DeSantis, we have someone a little bit worse, to say the least, Newsom. There are other leaders that we can affect. You know, there's Tony Thurmond. He's the superintendent of public instruction in California. I can tell you right now, they're not doing anything to stop this. They wouldn't dare lift their fingers against the unions that are giving them millions. They wouldn't dare to question the leftist agenda. And that's why I personally am really hoping for Lance Christensen
yeah,
to be the next superintendent of public instruction. I mean, that's someone who's worried about getting the education fixed first. It's someone who's advocated for school choice in the past, which should be a right that actually helps minorities the most out of anything we can do policy-wise right here, right now in California. I mean, and that's how you really move the nation forward. Instead of telling everyone they're underprivileged, and if you're white, you're racist, no matter what you actually hold in your heart, it's inherently there, subconsciously or consciously. No, we need someone like Lance Christensen to focus on education and tell kids, hey, we got to learn how to do 2 + 2 before we learn white and white equals ultimate racist. Like, we can't be doing those type of things. And truly, I mean, I'm excited for that. I think those are type of things that make me hopeful, like I mentioned before, an optimist, that we do have good candidates running like Lance and many others who can make changes in their respective circles and spheres of influence and change a lot of that craziness that we're seeing, especially here in California.
Well, it's interesting too, like in the, we didn't want to leave today without what you're seeing in Southern California, what the prevailing sentiment is about what's going on the border.
Yeah, what is the, I mean, in the Hispanic conservative Hispanic groups that you meet with, what's the sentiment there?
Well, I can tell you quite honestly, it's not necessarily a top concern for the Hispanic community. They are really worried about the economy and the jobs, and they're really worried about crime.
Yeah, and that's another little thing too.
On, right. Is that some of this crime, and a good chunk of it, is made worse by our open border crisis.
Right.
You have cartels operating in Northern California. You have cartels operating in Los Angeles. You have cartels operating in San Bernardino County in the Inland Empire, which is where I'm from. And you have cartels operating in San Diego and along the border. And these are not good people. And they're pushing in fentanyl that's killing people left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And should be declared a complete emergency. But, of course, if you do that and you talk about the border, next thing you know, the progressives are calling you racist. So you can't
right.
do that. You just have to let people die instead, apparently, according to the Democrat Party and their actions thus far. So they're really worried about the economy and crime. But it does play into the border crisis. They go hand in hand, unfortunately, because when you have widespread drug addiction, that's going to increase crime. That's how you get those petty crimes like the catalytic converters being stolen, you know, petty theft of properties at stores. It's a domino effect that we could stop at the source. And it's just about explaining that to people, because most people, when they think the border, like, oh, they just don't want to let people in, or, you know, they just want stronger security. We get that, but it's not our primary concern. When you explain how much of a serious cause and effect it has on their communities, then they start to realize, okay, this is a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm of the mind, I think, like many conservatives nowadays are, that we need immigration reform very soon, and something that's actually going to work. We need to vet people correctly. We need to get people to come here, correctly, the right way, so they can, you know, be fruitful in their endeavors. But we can't have it ramp into illegal immigration.
No.
It's not okay. It's not possible. And we are a nation of law and order, and we need to protect our sovereignty and our borders.
Well, another thing.
If we followed our own laws, it'd be fun to just say, like, hey, let's follow our own laws, the ones we have.
Yeah,
let's follow those
ones
for a year and see what happens.
Well, I think it's terribly unfair to the folks that came here legally, that went through the system, that waited years to get that piece of paper that says they're a citizen, something they can be proud of. And then you have the group that just comes across.
Yeah.
I would think that would just incense people, that they did it the right way, and heck, they should have just waited.
Absolutely.
They did it the right way, and they're having a job, and they're struggling, and these other guys are rolling in, getting handed a cell phone. And
we can't forget that in California, they gave them their own stimulus check out of the American taxpayer pocket. Unbelievable. You know, a majority of them may not be paying taxes. I can guarantee you that not everyone who received the stimulus check has paid their taxes in the past. Many do, but it's definitely not all of them, right? And then you have the possibility of, you know, President Biden thinking about giving them separation pay if they were separated. Giving them more money than I would have received if I died while serving my country.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was more than U.S. service members get from their life insurance.
Yeah, when I heard that, that was crazy. That was absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that's like, you can't actually think that's going to work. We have to take a really quick break, but our guest today is Marco Salata Rodas, and he is he's working in Southern California. I don't know if that's for the most part. We're going to find out when we come back. We should find out what other things he's working on before suddenly we're out of time, because I feel that happening. It's going fast today.
Yeah, it is.
Weird. So you'll be able to find the commercial-free archive on this later this afternoon. It's May the 22nd, 2022, and we're at wethepeopleradio.us. Nice job, Bill.
Give a man a free house and he'll bust out the windows, put his family on food stamps now. He's a big spender, no food on the table, and the bills ain't paid, cause he's spending on cigarettes and PGA. They'll turn us all into beggars, cause they're easier to please. They're feeding our people that government cheese.
Well, the eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the paths of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure food, you were walking real proud, and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
And then we elected Joe.
Sleepy Joe.
Oh, I forgot that had Russians in it. I was like, oh, that's kind of timely. So on a wider, conservative politics side, what do you see happening this year?
Well, I am very confident the red wave is coming. I believe that Republicans have a tremendous chance this coming election cycle to capitalize on the mistakes of the Democrats, and as you mentioned, our not-so-great Sleepy Joe, and really show the American people that under conservative leadership, with the principles of conservative values, America is more efficient and is more greater than without it. And I do see a red wave coming, and I'm really excited to see it.
Well, that's kind of nice. So when you guys go to Turning Point, I know, speaks on campuses and things. Are you kind of part of that? Are you involved in that part of it?
Yes. So when Turning Point does events, it's a variety. Students table on campus almost weekly with posters, and they talk to students, and they try to find conservative students or like-minded students who are interested in learning more or just hold those values and didn't know they existed. And they bring them in, and they create a strong, almost like a family on the campus of conservative students who can speak out because they are together instead of being isolated amongst a sea of leftists all alone. And they hold speaking events. So I've been super grateful to have been asked to speak at a few universities. We've had great speakers come to Cal State Fullerton, like Charlie Kirk and many others. And they do that throughout the nation, and they just help bring the ideas to the echo chamber that are universities.
Well, do you find, I mean, because what we hear, right, we're only catching what gets reported, but, you know, we're hearing that it's almost impossible for you guys to do that, and you get protested, and it's a big, you know, you're basically shut out all the time.
Sure, that is a very common problem, but nothing really is impossible. And if you don't accept defeat, and if you refuse to stand down, most of the time they don't know what to do. When you take the threat of protest and laugh at it, and then post about it, making jokes about them for it, they don't know how to act. I mean, I've had people say that they were going to protest an event we did at Cal State Fullerton. And it was hilarious, and I retweeted them, and I said, have fun. I hope you have a good time. And they just don't know how to act when you're unafraid. Now, I've been blessed because I am a veteran, so I really do see it as a mission that, you know, I will die for, in a sense. And quite honestly, to save my country and promote conservative values, I mean, if someone takes me out, it would be worth it. It's better that than being quiet. But I tell my students all the time, you know, you have to shout it from the rooftops. You have to be strong and proud about who you are and what you believe in, because conservative values aren't hateful values. They're actually the values that care the most about people and their rights and their well-being and economic futures. That's just a fact. The Democrat Party does not care about those things, even though they say they do.
I think their recent stand on abortion has pretty much sealed their fate there.
Right, exactly. So, and if they tell you to stop yelling, or you start talking, and if they tell you you can't do that, well, you grab a sign and you start walking in circles. And if they take out your legs, you start crawling. And if they, you know, take you out more, well, then you're holding the sign with your jaw if you have to. But you don't stop. And that's the idea. And Turning Point USA students really do have that mentality of fighting extremely hard, being unafraid. And, of course, it takes some time. But once you have a good chapter, which many universities do, they do not back down. I mean, there could be 500 people outside protesting, and they're inside having a blast, convincing people who are moderate or empowering students who are already conservative. And like I said, today I am speaking on my own, but I truly do have a lot of admiration for Turning Point USA, and I've been extremely grateful for my time with them.
Well, you know, I guess it's just an opportunity for us to learn a little bit about it, because we get little snippets out in the world, and, you know, let's face it, the bulk of people are not in college, so we're not, you know, we're not part of that. So for all the people out there that really want to support that mission, you know, I mean, if you're more comfortable with that, we could, you know, we'd love to have somebody on from that to just do a pitch and build some support. But what's
absolutely. Well, I mean, if people want more information, or they just want to donate $5 because they like the idea and what we're doing, they can go to tpusa.com. At any time to donate or learn more. We have a bunch of conferences for students. We have the Young Women's Leadership Summit coming up. We have the Student Action Summit coming up. And that's really where students are motivated and engaged, and they leave with a sense of understanding of how important the fight is, and a motivation that is unlike anything else I've ever seen in my life. and they take that to their universities and colleges across America and fight for good causes.
That's awesome. I'll put a link on the page for today so people can get a look at that. But, I mean, you have to really be living in a hole not to have ever heard of Turning Point USA. But
yeah.
Do you know what they do? Do you know how to help them? I mean, that's all very different.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a lot of great organizations. I mean, there's a lot of good causes in California. I mean, we have churches getting motivated and fighting back against the left like I have been never seen before, at least in my lifetime. We have, again, I've been blessed to work with the Republican National Hispanic Assembly, truly helping candidates understand the Hispanic American community, engaging the Hispanic American communities in places where traditionally the right has not been in. And it's because we understand Latinos are conservative, and we're going to keep fighting to show them the truth that the Democrats are not for them. They're against them. They just use them for identity politics and their numbers. And we just have so many great causes, like I said. Lance Christensen running for office. We have, I mean, amongst many other amazing candidates. It's a good
Yeah, let's
right
not gloss that over. That so if you're looking at your ballot, that is state superintendent of schools, Lance Christensen. And the good part is he's the guy at the top of the ticket, or, you know, top of the list, so that makes it easy.
That's right, yeah. And that's starting there with our education system will help a lot. And then supporting great causes like the RNHA, Turning Point USA, getting involved with your local GOP. I mean, this is how we make changes happen and make that red wave come, like I was mentioning earlier.
I think it's an important thing for people to hear from folks like you, because what happens, you're constantly bombarded with this race thing, and the danger is people just shut down on it. So they just... You know what I mean? They stop engaging. It's like I'm just gonna get filleted if I go there. And that's just basically not true. It sounds like the folks you're dealing with are all they're looking for a more productive country. They're looking for a future. This isn't all about tearing the place to the ground.
I've had incidents where a young leftist on my college or at my university, better said, flipped me off. Called me ugly, said I was terrible, all for handing out informational pamphlets on the known communist Angela Davis, who came to speak at my university.
Oh.
She went from that to 30 minutes crying in my arms because she felt bad about the way she was acting. And that's part because we don't act like they do. And every day I pray that President Joe Biden all of a sudden comes to this realization that what he's doing is not the best, all of a sudden becomes completely capable of finishing sentences and fixes our country and does great things. Because, truthfully, I don't want our president to fail.
No.
I don't want anyone in a position of leadership to fail. And I want these leftists to realize what they're doing is wrong, and these ideas aren't helping anyone but themselves, because being a victim is part of their identity, and being woke and who can outwoke each other is part of how they get validation because of their own issues at home and in themselves. I pray for all these people. I want them to do good. But until they do, we have to take the mantle and talk about the truth with conviction, with strength, but with love at the same time. And that's how we can change people's minds and show them that the Republican Party isn't this racist, terrible thing that the left says about us, because they know if they instill fear in them, they'll never trust or listen to us. And rather, that we're the party that wants to help them the most with economic opportunities, jobs, liberties, constitutional rights, and a better tomorrow for everyone, regardless of what you look like or what background you have. And that's quite honestly the truth. And you can't back down, because until they realize that on their own, you need to be as strong as possible in your ideas. And that doesn't mean you have to be like the amazing Bill and Aaron here that I'm talking to, or like myself, and
go out
and talk about this weekly and be out there and outspoken. Sometimes it's as simple as talking to your neighbors, talking to your family, you know, talking to your church and telling them we need to get more involved if we believe in these biblical views. Little things or big things, but you play your part, and that's how we can change and fix America.
Yeah. Well, you're right, because the biggest danger with people who would agree with us on these types of things is that they're sitting back and going, it doesn't matter. There's voter fraud. The left is just going to stuff the ballot box or whatever whatever their thing is. And then they say, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to vote. And
you need to be involved.
which is why we still have Gavin Newsom. I mean, they didn't they signed the petitions to put the recall on the ballot, but then they didn't go to the ballot box to vote. And then they, you know, and then I have a lot of people who turn around and say, well, they cheated. And I'm like, well, did you vote? Well, no, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Like, how hard do they have to cheat if you don't actually vote?
Right. Even if you believe that the cheating occurred, and there's a lot of evidence that say it did happen, at least in many pockets
of
America.
Yeah, no argument.
It wasn't through ballot harvesting necessarily. It wasn't because they threw away your vote. In California,
but go make them cheat.
Vote, like, and you can track it online. And if something happens, contact the right people, contact the voter register office, contact your GOP office, and they'll find out. And you might even be helping us get closer to a better, more safe, and legitimate election.
Well, I found out a couple of weeks ago that the California GOP has attorneys in all 58 counties that will be watching for election problems. And I thought, wow, well, that's something that's not being talked about.
Yeah, go vote, track it. Something suspicious comes up, give them a call. And that's how we can do our part and hopefully have some very good outcomes in California at the local and statewide level.
Well, I've always felt that the Hispanic community was the most aligned with American values.
I'm a little biased, but I would agree so.
Yeah, I mean, well, when you come down to the basic things, they're culturally, right? Culturally, I don't know. Most of us are, we're Catholics. A lot of the Hispanic community is Catholic. So these are people who don't believe in abortion. These are people who believe in helping the poor, but not just giving everything away. I mean, they have a good work ethic. They real strong family. All these things, and it's never made any sense to me that would be a strong. A strong arm of the left. That's
absolutely.
That's just always like, what are they telling these people that's convincing them to join?
I have to thank you both very much for not calling us Latinx because
calling you what?
If you're Latinx, I'm not sure if you've heard of that.
I don't understand the X stuff. I'm kind of X stupid
myself, and I'm supposed to identify it as it. Apparently,
what does it mean?
I thank you for not calling us the made up leftist names and acronyms they make for us.
Well, but what is a Latinx? What does that mean?
I've heard two different theories. One of them is that it's for Latinos who don't identify fully as American, but don't identify fully as where their parents come from.
Oh, yeah. It's identification. I should have known. Well, I'm dumb
in mind. And the other thing is it's a queer inclusive, LGBTQ inclusive.
Oh, yeah, that's terrific.
Rewording of the word Latina or Latino.
Yeah, I don't really get
the
that.
Dams of the world and such.
Well, that's just...
That does not use it, believe me. It's only used by white elitists in the university systems, white leftists, and some misguided leftist Latinos.
Yeah. We don't really even know those people, so. and we don't spend our time feeding the bears, so we don't allow those people to come on and talk to us. So we don't learn anything from them either.
Yeah, they're all around us. At my university, they have a Latinx center. And
brother! God bless you and your work. We're really happy to have you on today. It's been fun, and for all the people out there, you know, around the country and outside the country, it's always good to know that. Everything isn't what you think it is, you know. Yeah. So keep up the good work. We really appreciate you.
Yes, thank you. No, we have to remain hopeful in God. America has stormed many battles and waters before, and we will continue to do so with great people.
Absolutely.
Just doing their part, getting out to vote, and helping to fight America in their own little way every day.
Amen. And thank you very much for your service in the military. And Marcos, if you have any other people who are just not getting any airtime and have a good message, you send them to us. We'd love to hear from
them.
Thank you
so much, Aaron and Bill. God bless.
Thanks for coming on.
All right, coming back with Sheriff Mike Johnson, and you're listening to We the People. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.com.
US